For the first time, Vegeta is fighting for someone other than himself. Controlling his own fate. Trunks, Bulma, I do this for you. And yes, even for you, Kakarot.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. So, the Saiyan yells. The Saiyan yells. I mean, that's putting it mildly. The Saiyan really yells during a power up. They really rip it out, like, when they're gonna power up to fight Frieza or put some blasts into the ground or make it to like a godlike power level. You know the drill. You've seen Dragon Ball Z and likely Dragon Ball Super. It's amazing, isn't it? They're up there on some rocks looking like they're gonna pummel you into hell and they just rip it so loud. It's amazing, but what I wanna know is, have you ever yelled like really, really loud like a Super Saiyan? Like really loud for an extended amount of time, like how a Saiyan yells when they're powering up. So I would demonstrate, but I don't want to damage your eardrums while you're maybe casually waiting for your bus or driving. You know, imagine you're driving to work at 8 a.m. and I just rip, hurrah, you know, like into your eardrums. No, I won't. I won't do that. But I will tell you about a time I yelled like a Super Saiyan. One night, I went on my balcony during a pretty peaceful evening. The sun was setting kindly on the horizon, and the summer air was flowing amidst the charcoal and pine smells. The light from the setting sun was draping so pleasantly on the pavements, the summer dawn so calm, not even the great Kais could harm it. Long story short, it was pleasant. And I went onto my balcony, and I looked around, and I just screamed. Not like, ah, you know, like high-pitched scream, but a scream that you do when you enter Super Saiyan. Like a, hurrah, you know, on my balcony for an extended amount of time. Just this, hurrah, through the ether. I yelled like a Saiyan. I did that, then I looked around, and nothing really happened outside. No one said anything like, shut up. I didn't live near a busy street when I did this, but I did live close to downtown when I did this yelling. And I probably didn't grab people's attention enough. I don't have the power to like shake rocks on the concrete and have my hair grow and become Super Saiyan 3 while I yell. But I did yell really loud and no one said anything. And I was a little disappointed in that. But I do like to think that maybe someone was sitting in their apartment, watching TV, scrolling on their phone on like a boring evening and then heard me screaming. And maybe they thought, okay. Or maybe they thought, do we need to check this out? Or maybe they thought, ignore that scream or whatever it was and it'll go away. Or maybe a person who heard me yell turned to their roommate in their apartment and said, sounds like this lady outside our apartment complex went Super Saiyan. Who knows? Who knows? We won't actually know what they thought. We'll never know. But, you know, despite my yelling not necessarily getting the attention of the neighborhood, yelling outside my balcony was nice. You know, I think there's a lot of something inside of me that needs to be released. You know, a lot of pent-up energy and emotion needs to be released, and yelling could maybe help with that. It could help. There are already a few ways that a person can release energy and stuck emotion. Add it to the list of working out, taking a walk, talking it out, blah, blah, blah. And now I've discovered another way. Yelling like a Saiyan on my balcony. It's probably best to not do that during quiet hours in my apartment building, although I know Vegeta would not give a flying patootie as to when he's yelling. So, speaking of pent-up emotions, I think there's a lot of pent-up anger in a lot of us these days, including myself, and we might wanna yell. Obviously, many of us hold in anger and emotions, and I mean, that's kind of okay, like to an extent, you know? I'm an adult. For example, I can't just yell at people because my Vagisil ointment is sold out at Walgreens or because my sock fell down in my shoe. You know, turning into a Super Saiyan sounds great, but I'm not here to turn into a Super Karen. I have to be a calm adult, to do my job, to interact with other humans in a decent way, etc., etc. And that's good, but then if I'm not releasing anger and energy in healthy ways, I can get really stiff and numb. Duh. We know this. We know this. So I think yelling out at the universe or into the sky, you know, helps release the energy and even angry energy. And I think, okay, now this is just my theory. This is just a maybe. I think yelling is partly how Goku and Vegeta become Super Saiyan or how they get to another level. I think that like when they yell into the universe, they yell to maybe pull out energy from their bodies that they can use. They yell to bring out that energy and to use that energy to kind of bust down those metaphorical walls that could stop their energy and strength from flowing. Then they use the energy that they pulled out for, you know, getting stronger and getting to new power levels and fighting people. Again, this is just my theory as to why they yell. It's like they pull out energy with the help of yelling, and then they use that energy, I think. I don't know. A number of different theories could be at play here. And of course, the second purpose of yelling out at the universe when turning Super Saiyan or another level, I think, is to look sick and powerful, because who wants to challenge someone standing in the middle of a desert yelling at the top of their lungs as they turn yellow? Not me. So, anger and yelling are not something that we typically consider a good thing. But, you know, I appreciate Vegeta. Vegeta has almost always known how to make it important and useful and healthy most of the time. No pent-up emotions for this man. No inhibitions for him. He's just pulling out that energy, that angry, raw energy, and using it for power. You know, I think yelling at the universe could go well for a human like myself, too. Releasing emotion through yelling breaks down the inhibitions in my body, and I feel simply better. And that energy released and flowing through my body and from my body is used for whatever I need to do or whoever I need to be that day. And for being my best self. So I will continue to yell on my balcony as long as no one makes a complaint. So, Vegeta. Gosh, I've been a Dragon Ball Z fan since I was 11? I don't quite remember, but yeah, I've been a fan for a while. But it wasn't until more recently that my DBZ passion started flowing again. I think it's part of that phenomenon where weebs became more weebish. Like during the pandemic, we were reverting back to our anime interests we had during adolescence, maybe as a coping mechanism. Who knows? Someone should do a study on that sometime. I don't know. So anyway, I recently got really into Vegeta. I started cosplaying him as Femme Vegeta on TikTok, spent maybe 40 hours designing his armor for the cosplay. I watched Dragon Ball Super, and I stared at many, many a Vegeta edit online. Obviously, I've been kind of inspired, so I'm making this episode. So here on this podcast, Next Door Villain, I have some things to say about Vegeta because, in a way, I feel I've been slowly becoming him, and I've slowly been becoming enthralled with DBZ and Vegeta in an odd way. More so than before, I have been capturing his essence and learning from him in some ways. And I also know what else you're thinking about. This is the podcast Next Door Villain, and I have to answer the question, is Vegeta a villain? I would say he used to be. I think we can all agree that Vegeta hasn't really been a villain since certain parts of DBZ, like the Saiyan Saga and when he turned Majin Vegeta that one time. I also think he used to be kind of a villainous father during the Perfect Cell Saga. And, you know, pre-DBZ, he used to whip out a lot of death upon aliens and planets, you know? He's the Saiyan Prince. We know this. He's not forgiven for all of that, but he has helped save Earth a few times, so that's helpful. That is helpful of him to do. He's no longer a villain. He was a villain. He's no longer a villain. But is he still villainous? Does he still have some traits that a standard villain usually has? Yeah, he's got some smirky assholeness to him that we all love and get off on. Some daring determination that makes him come off as rude and relentless, but we love it. And even if he's not a villain anymore, it's still a great idea to explore some of the villainous things he's done, like becoming Majin Vegeta. And talk about what I've learned from him and what I've learned from his stereotypically villainous qualities. And, you know, as a disclaimer, I interpret Dragon Ball Z and Vegeta in different ways. It might be different from how you do that. That's okay. This is pop culture and it can be interpreted in different ways. So, moving on, here is a performance poem, aka slam poem, that I wrote and is about something I've learned from Vegeta. Even if poetry is not really your thing, stay with me here, okay? Just listen. You might like it. And I'll continue talking about Vegeta afterwards. This poem is called Super Saiyan Forever. This image that I play in my head haunts me. Okay, it goes something like this. I'm running across the road, and then there's a boom. I'm shoved, splattered on the concrete in the ferocious sun. There I am, like a cooked egg on the asphalt at the mercy of a hungry bus that hit me. Windshield as a side dish is edgy gourmet, and I am the main course. This image flashes each time I'm about to cross the road on the street. At the sight of my demise in my head, I say, please, please do not devour me, front grid teeth of a bus. Don't hit me. I pray. Look, I'm still youngish at 28. Live fast, don't die. I bite nails at the thought of planes going sideways. A fear of dying young keeps me from stepping onto pavement. I need help in the phobia department. I am afraid. So I look out the window like a longing girl in a Western, and I ask for some help in the vast yeehaw beyond. I need to stop being afraid of the harsh, wild, wild west sand that sits before me at dawn. Can someone help me? Oh. I wake up in the morning. Oh my God. Look who has arrived. It's Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z. I'm floored, backing away from blinding beauty of magnitude in my house. My middle school crush, Vegeta, is here to help me get through these fears. He looks sexily pissed, as usual, widow's peak sharp enough to slice cheese on the counter, looking fierce in red, blue, yellow, or Majin. The man is not a man. He is a Saiyan who is killing and smirking. I am scared of dying. But now, here's this dude. He's exploded himself to prevent a villain from killing a humanity that wasn't even his own. He knew he'd dissipate into nothingness after Pink Fuzz was the last he'd see. He's lived with knowing that the Saiyans were ripped into confetti like the ones on Pizza Ranch tables after birthday parties. He knows a rising combustion, the heat of a last whimper, the eruption of the body in a power-up. Vegeta! Yeah, Vegeta might have some good advice. I ask him, pray tell, Super Saiyan, how do I become super hungry to live? He says, you should do a push-up. It might make you stronger. I say, look, dude. I try to survive the danger. I get out of bed, drive to the supermarket with a prayer said under the breath. Women's Health magazine tells me to eat an apple or else. The buses buzz by and they do not stop. But he asks, Where is your pride for a charge of chaotic strength in the middle of your palms? Where is your pride for the fight against a world that wants you in its ground, feasting on flesh? Where is your pride in walking oh so effortlessly in a world that wants you decimated? He continues, yell, yell till your voice reaches King Kai's, yell till you regenerate a burning planet, yell till the earth begs for you to flourish like it begs for luscious water to drink. I ask him how he stays unafraid, and he says, never be subtle. Never be subtle, he says. When you yell at the moons that birthed your ugly essence, when you yell and pound for glory from the chest, the bus, the people will regret ever getting near you. The world will part its soil for you to allow your growth till you hit the edges of the universe. So yell, I yell, you yell, I yell. Anywho, moving on. Now that we're done with that, let's move on. One aspect of Vegeta that we all seem to love is Majin Vegeta. I love Majin Vegeta, and it's not just because of his intricate M on his forehead or the slappity slap on Goku that he did while he was Majin Vegeta. By the way, I have needed to draw that M on my forehead twice in my life now, and it's not as easy as it looks. Yeah, it's a thing that has occurred. I have cosplayed as Femme Majin Vegeta, female Majin Vegeta. She was like very blonde, because you know, Majin Vegeta is in Super Saiyan mode. So she was very blonde, like with big red Kylie Jenner lips. She looked like she took some selfies in Soho and then blew up Majin Buu right before her dinner at like Nobu Malibu or something. Which, by the way, is still as badass. I think Femme Majin Vegeta is pretty badass. Anywho, if you want to look at it, go to Next Door Villain Podcast on TikTok. Anywho, Majin Vegeta, he became Majin Vegeta because he didn't want to lose his past self and lose his atrocious, harmful, powerful self that he was during his pre-Earth days. He was evil before, and he wanted to return to evil, and he thought that it'd make him stronger. And in a way, I think it did make him stronger, because being evil kind of takes away your inhibitions even more, and it makes you unafraid to pummel people to death. You don't hold back when you don't care about another being. He resorted to having Babidi draw out his latent power and then make him like the devil to become evil again. Majin Vegeta says in the manga, I was the perfect warrior, cold and ruthless, uninhibited by foolish emotion. I wanted to fight with you, not caring about anything else. And by you, he means Goku. Then after that, Goku and Vegeta have their little tussle. Actually, a pretty big fight. Majin Vegeta feels Majin Buu's energy then, and it hits him, and he realizes that dude is bad for people, especially for Vegeta's family. Yeah. And Majin Vegeta makes a decision to do the tearfully moving scene that we all know so dearly. He blows himself up in an effort to destroy Majin Buu. He sacrifices himself as Majin Vegeta. Anywho, do we realize what's happened here? He is supposedly in the darkest form of a Saiyan he's ever been in, as far as I know. Babidi's power is also trying to control him, trying to ensure that he remains in the evil, dark form of Majin Vegeta. Vegeta goes so deep in evil as Majin Vegeta. He's even killed hundreds of onlookers during the tournament as Majin Vegeta. He is so deep in evil, so stuck in it, just oozing with evil. But even when his wickedness is at the surface and pouring out like a never-ending waterfall, he hears Goku say the words Trunks and Bulma and realizes, oh, I need to save them. So evil and darkness is compelling his soul, but some sort of goodness and need to save his family and the world still peeks out? That's impressive. I wonder if he realized how strong and good he truly was at that moment because he drew out some sort of goodness from his soul when absolutely everything, including himself, was trying to counter that goodness from happening. He realized that he truly is good, even when he didn't think so before. He realized he is truly good when he came to terms with the fact that he just can't be someone who doesn't care. He can't just be someone who is all evil, who has evil engulfing his entire being. How do I learn from this? I guess just when I think I'm a certain way, right? And when I think I need to stay a certain way, when I think that the threads in my body form only in one or two particular ways, I can surprise myself. Kind of like how Vegeta tells himself that he's evil and not capable of goodness and not supposed to be capable of goodness. I could tell myself every day, I am not like a certain way. For example, I'm not a very assertive person. I tell myself every day that I don't like confrontation. Every day, I do things that align with this belief that conflict should be avoided. Every day, I tell myself I am meant to be people-pleasing. You know, I look in the mirror in the morning as my easygoing self who just wants to please others, but then sometimes assertiveness still peeks out. So there actually was a day, one time, I was walking across the street on the crosswalk, and I had the right-of-way as a pedestrian on that particular crosswalk, and there was a car that was driving pretty quickly and then stopped right in front of me very suddenly. Like, they obviously did not appreciate that I was walking on the crosswalk, even though I had right-of-way. You know, and the car barely stopped right in front of me. Could have rammed right into me if they weren't paying attention. And I stopped, and I gave the sauciest, meanest, most atrocious look to the driver. I then walked slower than that turtle dude that hangs out with Mr. Roshi, and I was, in a punishing way, looking up and down at the driver as I walked slowly. And it was like my eyelashes were combing through waves when I was looking at them up and down. You know, I was, I guess, kind of assertive. But everything in my life was trying to prevent me from this assertive, confrontational moment. The driver obviously knew that I was pissed. Prior to this, even when I had the right-of-way on pedestrian crosswalks, I would run across streets on crosswalks sometimes so as not to annoy drivers who need to drive past, so as to not get in their way. But not that day. Not that day. Assertiveness was felt through the fingertips, the eyes, the body in front of a machine that could pummel me to pieces. I guess my assertiveness came through the cracks. Maybe I'm not supposed to always be so easygoing and accommodating when this assertiveness randomly appeared, even when I was trying so hard to suppress it. Kind of like how Vegeta was trying so hard to suppress his goodness, but yet it came out in the end. And he wouldn't have been able to see how he's capable of this until it came out in an intense suppression. It's weird, isn't it? Feel the difference and possibilities of difference in your bones because it might help you. It helped Vegeta. I'm so glad he became Majin Vegeta so that he could find out he truly wasn't Majin Vegeta when the music of love pulled on his heartstrings. And then there's the explosion, the rebirth. And when he makes this decision and attempts to kill Majin Buu, the explosion envelops the dirt and he yells until the ground and pieces and pink and skies and soul fly into the abyss. They fly into the abyss. He went so low into darkness in order to literally and figuratively climb out of it as a bright light on the planet. He goes so low to then be reborn as someone who understands the true meaning of power and strength, which is to fight for others and not only yourself and to let love flow. I know that's kind of cheesy, but Majin, the end of the day, Majin Vegeta was kind of cheesy in all the right ways. First, it was like really badass, like I'm badass. And then he was like, boom. And then we cried. And then Vegeta eventually frees himself from the devil. Bleh. My religious family would be very proud. And yeah, that was kind of a fever dream, but so was Majin Vegeta. So thank you for coming along with me on the ride. Anywho, here's a short Majin Vegeta poem to sign us off. I am an asshole. Planets beamed, and I've got other people's dads on my shoes from squishing them so hard during invasions. And I had drips of hate down the side of my mouth, but today I am melted by the scorching crispedia flower. and the fathers of the future are free. Know this, what's done is done. Know this, I decide the now. Know this, you wouldn't get it, I don't care. Know this, the power to let this yellow bloom engulf me is the power I'd been yearning for. A few things about this short poem. The Cresspedia flower has like a dome-like yellow bloom to it, and his blast that blows up both him and Majin Buu kind of looks like this flower. And upon looking at the blast that looks like this flower, he can appreciate a flower that continues to bloom after he's gone, and one of the many things that will grow after he saves Earth. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this, please share it with a DBZ, DBS, DB fan in your life. Rate Next Door Villain on Apple Podcasts. You can follow Next Door Villain on Instagram at Twitter at Next Door Villain. You can also follow us on TikTok at Next Door Villain Podcast. Thank you. Super Saiyans.